So, Jacob, do we get a, like, so do we get the one-year update of how the marriage is going and all that?
I have a whole PowerPoint on this.
Oh.
No eye on Jane. To say it short, 1 year has been amazing. I need to click a bit. I don't know where the 1 year went. It's just like, got married yesterday and it's just gone. But that's good. So I was thinking about what I was going to speak in. I think Bob sent this email like 3 months ago, and I was like thinking, like, what am I going to share for this year? And I was trying to just like observe and like see what God puts in your heart and God puts in front of you, and just trying to take take note of what is happening and just kind of go from there. And I kind of wanted to speak on a particular topic, and I came to this topic. I'd like to pray and open the meeting. Father, we thank you for this wonderful morning that you've given us, this new year. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for your Son and our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, who is our wonderful Savior, blessed assurance, and just the wonderful, merciful God. Thank you. Let this message be edifying to people. Let me only speak of useful things and things that the Spirit wants to communicate. If not, let it not be said. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Good afternoon again. And like the topic I chose for this morning, this challenge message is walk with Christ, or walking with Christ. It is a very simple topic. It's not complicated. I think we, it's not like nuanced theology or something that is too complicated to understand, but it is extremely difficult to implement. It is a challenging requirement that Christ has put in front of us. In order to like introduce my sermon, I'd like to read Luke chapter 12, 13 to 33. It's not like someone already read it this morning. Luke chapter 12, 22 to 23. I'm sorry, 24, 20, 13 to 33. Luke chapter 24, 13 to 33. I'm not going to read the whole chapter passage. I'm just going to read from 25 onwards. Oh, sorry, 19 onwards. And he said to them, what things? And so they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, how chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, crucified him, and were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, today is the third day since things have happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they've also seen visions of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe in all the prophets, prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? Beginning at Moses or all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went and stayed with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, then he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them, and then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to another, did our heart burn within us when he talked with us on the road? Well, he opened the scriptures to us. So they rose up that very hour, returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 and those who were gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, has appeared to Simon, and they told about the things that had happened on the road, and he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. So this is like a classic, when someone says walking with Christ, we remember Enoch walking with God, Moses walking with God. But I wanted to use this example and like pick a three points, three things that happen when you walk with God, right? Or three things that happen here when they walk with Jesus Christ. First one is he explained the scripture to them. Jesus Christ explained, I know in the morning Alan shared and he said like, they believed, they had faith that Jesus Christ was God, but when he explained the scriptures to them, they understood the scripture. And the second thing that happened is, their eyes were open, and through the help of the Spirit, they were able to see. And the third thing that happened when they were walking with Christ is, their heart was burning. Then they went out and did share what they had experienced. So this is like an example of what it looks like to be walking with Jesus Christ. He explains the scripture to us. Our eyes will be open to see the mysteries of the universe, and our heart will be burning with the desire to go forth and tell and to do things that we need to do for him, that he has asked us to do. I could end my sermon here and that's it. You gotta go forth and do what is here. But I have a couple more things that I've prepared. So these three things. And I wanna go in detail and I wanna show a couple of verses as examples to see how it applies to us and what the scripture says about it. First verse is Ephesians 1:7. In him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom, prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in all one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, in him. In him also we've obtained the inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trust in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Once I've heard a story or an illustration was used in the sermon. There was this female author. She was the first to graduate Oxford, and she wrote this detective spy novel. And she had his main character. I think his name is Arnold, and Arnold was a detective, and he solved crimes like Sherlock Holmes. And she wrote a bunch of novels, and the R null character did not have a significant other. And when the author was writing a significant other into the story for Arnold, like the character was very similar to the author herself. And people say like she wrote herself into the story, and it was like she fell in love with the character so much so that she, but the illustration was Arnold would not have known the existence of the author until another author wrote himself or herself into the story, right? I titled this The Mysteries of God. The Mysteries of God has been revealed unto us, and it would not have been revealed unto us unless otherwise God came down and told us what was his purpose, what was his plan. And until another place this happened, we would not have known. We would have never known. We would have died in our sins. We would have been worse and like worse and worse. And we would have had the same fate as the Amalekites or the whole bunch of people God destroyed. But it did not. God did not let that happen. Christ came down, revealed the mysteries of divine stature. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. That is the mystery that is revealed. Gentiles and Jews shall be brought back into the kingdom of God through the sacrifice of Christ. That is step one in walking with God, like knowing what is the mystery that is opened up in front of us. Step two is understanding the mystery and accepting the mystery. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, that the gospel, your salvation, in whom also having believed, that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of an inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Step two is you trust in this revealed mystery. God came down, he said, I am God. You know, it is now up to you to either have faith in me or reject me. And the people of Ephesians trusted him, the church at Ephesians trusted him, as we are gathered here as a church. And I hope and pray that everybody here have also trusted in the mystery that Christ has revealed for us, that he came down, died for our sins, and rose on the third day. And all we have to do is trust in the truth that we've heard for his praise and his glory. You can see both the verses end for his praise and glory. For his praise and glory, the mysteries was revealed for his praise and glory, and we trust and believe in the mystery for his praise and glory, right? And then which takes us to the next step, right? So we've understood the mystery has been revealed unto us, and we put our faith in the mystery, and out of which comes our walk with the Lord. Now we have been given a mercy that we do not deserve, and out of which comes this asking. I got this quote: understanding who we are is the foundation of this worthy walk. Luther counsels men to answer temptations of Satan this only Christianus sum: I am a Christian. So out of which we get our identity, right? Before anything, I am Christian. And we take our identity as a believer, as a Christian, based on these two doctrinal beliefs. Christ came down, died on the cross for our sin, and we have faith in him. This is like a small story. Like a sheep is grazing at this, pasture. And the sheep hears some rustle, and sheep looks up, looks at the shepherd, and the sheep sees that the shepherd is there, and then calmly goes back to grazing, not worried about anything else. It's like that. It's like, you know, the sheep has the faith in the shepherd, and it is identifying with the shepherd as his Lord and protector, and the sheep is doing what sheep is supposed to be doing. And this takes us to the next step, walking with Christ. And what does walking with Christ look like? And walking with Christ looks like this. I titled them in three separate titles: walking in spirit, walking in love, and walking with his word, walking in his word. Walking in spirit, Ephesians 4:1-6, therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, in all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Walking in spirit. Okay. What does walking in spirit look like? Okay. Walking in spirit is walking with lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing one another in love, and endeavoring to keep the unity in the spirit in the bond of peace. This is something that God is calling us to do. Be lowly. Put others in front of you. Be gentle. We are called to stand for the word of God, but we are called to do that in gentleness and meekness. Long-suffering. We were just going through Friday night on suffering, and we were discussing, is suffering expected or is suffering that is like not expected? Suffering is expected, and God is calling us to be long-suffering. He said, like, if there is a chance for you to suffer, go pick up the cross and carry your cross. Long-suffering, bearing one another in love, and endeavoring to keep the unity in spirit in the bond of peace. Like, you know, we should be endeavoring to be in unity amongst ourselves, amongst otherwise comes at the cost of sacrificing the integrity of the word. Other than that, we should almost always strive to keep the unity of peace above self-interest, self-requirement, self-want. That is what walking in the spirit looks like. And we are called to walk in the spirit. So just to recap, like, to walk with Christ, you need to have three things. One, you need to know the mysteries that are revealed unto you. Two, you need to accept and put your faith in the mystery that is revealed unto you. And the third thing is you need to do what Christ has asked to you, which is step one, walk in His spirit. The next is walk in His love. Ephesians 5:1, walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Walk in spirit, walk in love. And love comes at a cost. Do we go out and willingly take up the cross? Love comes at a cost, and we need to walk in love. How will we be able to do this? How will we be able to walk in love? What is the word tell us about walking in love? Ephesians 3:16. I'm not gonna read the whole thing. That 17, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded. The illustration is very simple. It's comparing us to a plant, which is rooted, spread out, and grounded, which is stable in love. And how can we do that? We can only do that if we understand the primary example that is set in front of us. That is the love that Christ showed for us. The love on cross. We need to understand the length and the breadth and the depth and the width of the love that Christ showed for us. The length is the length of this length of our sin that has been separated from us through the cross. The depth is, as Tyler shared this morning, remember this morning, the length that Christ came down from heaven. Depth that Christ came down from heaven and covered for us so that we may be able to be one with him. We may have fellowship back with him. We may be the bridge of sin and the separation from God may be separated, and we have a relationship with him. Only when we understand this sacrificial, costly love, we may be able to share our love with our fellow believers. We may walk in this world with love. Third one is walking in his word. Right? See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, the days are evil. Right? Walking in his word. I think this is the most important thing of all, walking in his word. Walking circumspectly is word means accurately. Accurately, precisely. Not a step to the left, not a step to the right. Perfect. Right? The process I work with is called anodization. Anodizing aluminum is a very complicated and a very, very picky process. And it's like one of the things that we strive to do, and I don't want to pour any chemistry lesson, one of the things we strive to do is like everything has to be perfect. If one thing goes a little more or less, and you are not going to get a good result. We deal with the material, chemistry, electricity, and everything needs to come perfectly for us to get a good result. And even one single thing goes, like you do get a little, it's not going to come out. God says you need to walk perfectly, accurately, precisely, as it is in the Word. And if you don't, God has a response for that too. You're called to walk in his word. I tried to stick with Ephesians, but I think this word was much more effective at communicating what I wanted to communicate. Walk in his word. If 1 Kings 8:61, let your heart therefore be loyal to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments as this day. So Solomon had just opened up the temple, and he's in the temple. He prayed for the people, and at the end of the prayer, verse 61, he says this, let your heart therefore be loyal to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments as at this day. This is what walking in his word looks like. Being loyal to our God, right? Our fealty is to God. Our fealty is to the Lord. He comes first. Whenever we are taking a decision, we have to think about what does the Lord want me to do here? Am I putting the Lord first here? And is this something that I can do under the with the acceptance of God. Loyal to our Lord, our God. To walk in his statutes and keep in his commandments as to this day. We need to walk in his statutes circumspectly, accurately, precisely, and to keep his commandments. For us to do that, we need to know his statutes and commandments. We need to be theologians ourselves. We need to learn the word in and out. We need to be great theologians who know the word of God in and out. I like to read like 1 Kings chapter 9, and like the end of this is kind of like Solomon prays, and then God comes and talks to Solomon. This is after the prayer has been offered up. This is God coming back second time and talking to Solomon. And it came to pass when Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord and the king's house, in all Solomon's desire, which he wanted to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time. And he had appeared to him at Gibeon, and the Lord sent unto him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication that you have made before me. I have consecrated this house, which you have built, to put my name there forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Now if you walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded to you, and if you've kept my statutes and my judgment, then I will establish my throne of your kingdom over Israel forever. And I promised David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. This is God responding back to Solomon. He said, like, walk, four. Now if you walk before me as your father David walked. Right? David was not perfect. Right? David had his failures. But God is telling him that if you walk like David walked before me, I shall establish your throne, and there will be a man on the throne of Israel forever. I learned recently something that when Jewish people refer to someone as a sinner, it is not that they sinned, but it is someone who stopped keeping the commandments and the restitutions and the sacraments of the church. Right? Someone who stopped giving offerings. Let's say in the Old Testament, there's a sin committed, and the sin requires two doves. A sinner is someone who rejected the system. David is an example here, because he did not reject God. When he sinned, he went back to God, pleaded with him, and committed his life to him and repented of his sin. And that is why God is telling Solomon that if you walk like David, if you have integrity in your heart, uprightness, to do according to that all I have commanded to you, if you keep my statutes and my judgments, I will establish your throne of your kingdom. It's not a prosperity message. It will be a prosperity message if I just leave it here. And I want to continue reading the same chapter. And it says, but if you or your sons at all turns following me and do not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given to them. And this house which I have consecrated for my name, I will cast out of my sight. Israel will be a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And as of this house which is exalted, everyone who has passed by it, it will be astonished and will hiss and say, why has the Lord done thus to this land and to this house? And they will answer, because they forsook the Lord, their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have embraced other gods, worshipped them, and served them. Therefore, the Lord has brought all this calamity on them. It is like same chapter, just continuation. God is giving us a warning. What will happen if you forsake the commandments and the judgment of the Lord and worship other gods? And we all know what happened. And this verse came into fruition. It came into future. And it came into existence. They did reject God. They did reject His commandments. They did reject His judgments. And Israel became a byword among all peoples. And the word of God is serious and sincere in the statutes that God says. If you do what He's asking you to do, if you keep His commandments, have integrity in your heart, be upright, He will establish your house. If you look at the flip side of that, what it is being holy, right? And if you're holy, and when you're holy, the holiness in itself is the gift that God is giving you. And it will, God will protect you through the holiness that you have. And if you don't, then God is giving us a warning as to what will happen when we don't walk in His, keep His commandment and walk in His statutes. To consolidate what I said, the challenge that I put for this morning in front of you is to walk with Christ. Right? To walk with Christ, the first thing you need to do is accept Him as your Lord. And what is that? That is the mystery that has been revealed unto you. The mysteries of great, 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 extraordinary importance. Divine nature. God created us so that He could have a relationship with us. We sinned and fell short of the glory of God. And we were in a state where we could not be saved. He came down, heaven came down, and glory filled the earth. Jesus came down, He took a lowly life of a bondservant, walked this earth, suffered and died for our cross. And we need to put our faith in Him. And when we put our faith in Him and accept Him as our Lord, that is step one. Step two is we need to walk in spirit, walk in love. Above all, we need to walk in His Word. So if we walk in His Word, we fulfill all the other things. The first thing is you need to read His Word. You need to know what is in His Word. Borrowed it from Nancy. Read His Word and do what it says. Right? You need to read His Word. Challenge everybody to read and learn and know more about His Word and do what it says. Right? Reading and just knowing is not enough. When my mom was growing up, she used to have this saying, I'm going to translate it, so it's not going to be any good, but it's like, to Soraka means a picture of a pumpkin is not going to do you any good. It's like a picture of a pumpkin is not going to do you any good. You need to have a real thing. You need to do what it says. Follow through. You need to commit your life to the Lord, know His Word, and do His Word. That is the challenge for this year. Know His Word and do His Word. And I also really like what Tyler shared at the Watch Night service. You know, this year, I'm going to think about the Lord and the joy that the Lord gives me, right? And I almost like wanted to speak on that, and like, but I stayed to mine. But the joy in the Lord is coming out of the holiness that God gives us. Right? When we do His will, when we obey His commandment, and when we do what God wants us to do, He will give us joy and peace that is surpassing all human knowledge and wisdom. Because God is the only thing that is going to last. And the Word of God and Spirit of men are the only two things that is forever. And when you do the will of God, you are bound to have joy. Joy that is immeasurable and just amazing. No matter what happens, you know your future is secure. You have blessed assurance that God has saved your soul. And the Christ and the Spirit that lives in you will give you the strength that you need to go forward and walk with Him. Now I'd like to finish by saying, you gotta know what the Word of God says and be able to do what He wants us to do. Now let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for this wonderful morning that You've given us to just come and remember our Son, you know, remember Your Son and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we are fortunate to break this bread that represents the body that was broken on the cross for us, and drink the cup that represents the blood that was shed for us. Father, we are most fortunate to have eternal salvation this earth may be gone within like morning dew, but your word and your will last forever, and you've saved us from eternal damnation. Nothing else matters other than the assurance that we have in you and the assurance that we have in you and the future that you've secured for us. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we worship you. We also ask you to give us the strength to walk in the commandments and the statutes that you've given us, so that we may keep your judgments, so that we may walk in spirit, walk in love, and walk in integrity according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.